This is Tall Tales time. Stories of adventure, legends of long ago, yarns for the day before yesterday. Settle back in your chair and listen as we spin for you Tall Tales. Tonight, Handcuffs for John L. Sullivan.
All aboard!
Hey, wait! Y'all, wait a minute! Is this the train bound for Nashville?
Why, it sure is, sonny. Hop on up here and ride.
Well, I didn't want to go no place, but I got a message for Mr. John L. Sullivan. Will you get it to him?
Why, sure. Be glad to, son. What word you got for Boston Strong Boy? Jake Kilrain dead yet?
That's the message, mister. Mr. Kilrain ain't hurt serious at all. Just beat up and bruised. The doc says he may live to be 90. If he don't fight John L. Sullivan again.
Oh, yeah? Well, I sure tell John L. the news. Say, son, you know whether or not Jake Kilrain's got out of Mississippi yet? This state ain't going to be healthy for him on account of that law against prize fighting.
Oh, he skipped out on the train just behind Mr. Sullivan. They say Mr. Kilrain was got up to look like a possum.
What?
And his pal Charlie Mitchell was disguised as a truck.
Well, I'll be doggone. That's rich. That's the best one yet. Disguised as a tramp and a parson. Wait till I tell John L. about this one. Muldoon! Hey, Muldoon! Are you in there? I got a message for John L. Sullivan. Tell him Jake Kilrain survived those 75 rounds and he skipped out of Mississippi disguised as a parson. And Charlie Mitchell is disguised as a tramp.
Well, it is the morning of July 11th, and let's see, 89 it was. I was sitting in my office in the Nashville police station. Come on in.
Another telegram for you, Chief. Makes 5 this morning. What's up?
Plenty. Don't ask so many questions and scat. These youngsters. Oh, another one. They going crazy down there in Mississippi? To the Chief of Police, J. Hadley Clack, Nashville, Tennessee. Intercept John L. Sullivan and party on morning train from Mississippi.
Nashville, all out for Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, it is just a little after 9 o'clock in the morning. I had the telegram in my pocket and a gun in my hand. Somewhere on that train was John L. Sullivan, the heavyweight champion of America. Of the world, I guess. And I had to arrest him. It is my duty as chief of police.
Hey, where's the great John L. Sullivan? We want Sullivan!
Well, I pushed through the crowd. Porter, Turner, and Sidebottom, all detectives were with me. So was Captain Burke and Bolton and Sanders, both patrolmen. No sense in taking chances. We're coming through. Let us through. Now step back here, George. We got to get aboard. Come on, men. If Sullivan's aboard, he'll be in this here Pullman car. Well, my man and I climbed the steps to the Pullman car. It's a peculiar feeling, I tell you. Not many men are called on to arrest the heavyweight champion of the world. I didn't have any grudge against John L. Sullivan. Not me. I like to make friends, not enemies. But the governor of Mississippi was hopping mad, both at Sullivan and Jake Kilrain. There was a no-prize-fighting statute on the books down there, and the great John L. had overlooked it twice. Back in 82, he defied it to win the heavyweight title from Paddy Ryan. Again in 89, time I'm telling you about, when he defended the championship against Kilrain through 75 rounds in the broiling hot sun. At Richburg, Mississippi. Now, the way I heard it, Kilrain's seconds threw in the sponge after Sullivan had pounded him for 2.5 hours. They decided Kilrain was worth more alive than dead. then the pair of them, and all the hangers-on that stick to a fighter just like leeches. Skedaddle out of Mississippi. Right away, the governor started firing telegrams to every police station this side of the Ohio River. I got five of those telegrams myself. The governor of Mississippi sounded fit to be tied. And that's how I happened to be knocking on the door of a Pullman drawing room that had John L. Sullivan somewhere inside it. I want to see John L. Sullivan. Well, the door opened, and this giant of a man poked out his head. He looked like he'd been carved out of granite. Are you John L. Sullivan, I asked him. He looked real put out. I'm a gentleman, he said. My name is William Muldoon. And he slammed the door. Well, sir, it was Big Bill Muldoon, the wrestler. He'd trained Sullivan for the fight with Kilrain. Now, later on, Bill Muldoon went on the stage. Played Shakespeare, he did. Well, I wasn't getting anywhere. So I put my revolver out in plain view. And I knocked again. Yeah, this time he was more obliging. I walked inside. The first man I saw was almost as big as Muldoon, and in a lot worse repair. He was wearing a pink flannel shirt, blue pants, and two black eyes. He's also snoring. I nudged him. You John L. Sullivan, I asked him. He opened up one of those puffed up eyes, and he looked at me. You never mistook his accent. It was as Irish as corned beef and cabbage.
Sullivan? Me? I am not. I'm a peaceable salesman. Novelties? Ribbons?
Yeah, I guess you got those black eyes from selling ribbons and those skin knuckles from peddling novelties. Well, I got some news for you. You're John L. Sullivan and you're under arrest.
What? Arrest? No tin-badged policeman with corn mush in his mouth puts handcuffs on John L. Sullivan. I'll take on you and your whole police force.
Lay a hand on me or all my men, and I'll shoot you. I mean that, Mr. Sullivan.
Well, I'll be a erring ring-tail monkey.
And pay attention while I read this telegram. It says, deliver John L. Sullivan and his party to the sheriff at Jackson, Mississippi. The charge, the crime of prize fighting.
That's no crime except the way Jack Kilrain fights.
Now, don't interrupt me. That telegram signed by the governor of the state of Mississippi. Mr. Sullivan, I intend to comply with his request. He's offering $1,000 for your arrest. Now, that don't have anything to do with my interest in seeing justice, Donna.
Get me a lawyer. I'll not go back to Mississippi. Chief, I'll add $100 to the governor's offer if you forget you ever saw me aboard this train.
Hey, who's holding up my train? We gotta get moving.
Don't you try to bribe me, Mr. Sullivan.
The chief here is delivering telegrams.
Yeah, well, you're holding up the U.S. mail, Chief Clack. I'll have to ask you to leave. Deliver that telegram and get off. Huh?
I'm not delivering telegrams. I'm collecting a prize fighter.
Oh?
John L. Sullivan. He's under arrest.
Well, then, collect him and get off this train so we can keep our schedule to Cincinnati. Hmm?
Muldoon, I guess they got us all right. Chief, you win. I'll go with you. But take me to see a good lawyer on my way to jail.
Oh, now they'll treat you right here, John. This is the South.
Mississippi is South, too. What kind of treatment did I get down there?
Now, don't blame Mississippi for what Jake Kilrain done to you. Now, come along quietly, Mr. Sullivan, and tell your boys no rough stuff. This gun's loaded. Well, he didn't give me any more trouble. In fact, he was a right pleasant gentleman to deal with. At the police station, he sent out for cigars and drinks and for a new pair of shoes. In the mix-up at the station, he'd forgot he had one shoe off and one on. Well, some crowds gathered outside the police station. You know, we had to turn the hose on them to keep a proper distance.
When are those lawyers going to get here? I'm going to be late for my championship victory party up in Cincinnati.
Well, the lawyers that were Sullivan fans banded together and figured out that prize fighting was only a misdemeanor in both Tennessee and Mississippi. And a man can't be extradited on a misdemeanor charge.
You're making me head spin with all them legal words. Just tell me straight out, can they ship me back to Mississippi?
The answer was no. Judge McAllister read out of a book, and I listened. According to the U.S. Constitution, he says, extradition is for treason, felonies, and similar high crimes, not for misdemeanors.
Hooray for the U.S. Constitution! I'm a free man! No hard feelings, Chief. You're only doing your duty. And if you're ever in Boston, Massachusetts, John L. Sullivan wants you to be his guest.
Well, off he rode with Big Boyle Muldoon and Mike Cleary and the rest of his pals. Across the Cumberland to Edgefield, where they hopped a train going north. Next thing anybody knew, the Boston Strong Boy showed up in Chicago. You couldn't mistake who he was. He always let you know it as soon as he hit town.
I'm John L. Sullivan, and I can lick any man in this saloon. And the drinks are all on me, boys.
The rest of the story? Well, I don't know it as well as I do what I just told you. Because what happened afterwards was something I had no part in. At any rate, the governor of Mississippi finally brought both John L. Sullivan and Jake Kilrain back to his state and got the both of them sentenced for prize fighting. Sullivan paid a $500 fine. And Jake Kilrain got 2 months for assault and battery. And he spent those 2 months as the house guest of a prize fight fan who fixed it so Jake was paroled in his custody. The governor was still pretty mad at the easy way both men got off. But somebody gave his honor some good advice. They pointed out that it had already cost Mississippi $57,000 to bring Sullivan to justice. After all, they said, Governor, you can't arrest everybody. As for John L., well, he bore no ill will for anybody.
I know how the governor feels. I've been mad a time or two myself. And every time I did, the bill for repairs to the saloon has been more than the cost of the drinks.
Come all ye Boston Irish men and listen to my song. It is of John L. Sullivan, who now is dead and gone. For 20 years a champion, he never wore a scar. Oh, it's John L. this and John L. that, and he always was the first to the bar. Come all ye Boston Irishmen, and listen to my song. It is of John L. Sullivan, who now is dead and gone. For 20 years a champion, he never wore a scar. Oh, it's John L. this and John L. that, and he always was the first to the bar.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Southern legends. Tonight you heard the story of handcuffs for John L. Sullivan.
Oh, it's John L. this and John L. that, and he always was the first to the bar.
Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey and is heard every Tuesday evening at this same time. The ballad singer was George Grice. Tall Tales, produced by Marjorie Cooney, is a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services and comes to you from WSN, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, in Nashville, Tennessee.